Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Jeff H. from Encinitas.
I'm Jeff. I'm an alcoholic. There's a lot of people in here. Congratulations, Jims.
Thank you.
For your guys' birthdays. Thank you guys for having me here to talk to you guys tonight. And I don't know if Larry's still here or not, but thank you, Larry, for asking me to do this. And, you know, don't let the tie fool you. I'm nobody special up here. I'm another drunk who's doing some work on a daily basis to stay sober and helping others and you know, trying to just practice these principles in my daily life. And I don't do that great of a job of it. And I get honest with people about it, and I take suggestions, and I'm willing to do that today because I don't want to drink. First drink I remember, I was 14 years old. I was in Michigan. I was with my 21-year-old cousin in the back of a black SUV, and he handed me a bottle of peppermint schnapps and said, drink this. And I just, I felt I had to. Like, I thought that's just what you do. Like, I probably should, you know, if I want to be cool and if I want to be in with these guys, I should. You know, I took some swigs and started to feel a little good, a little loose. And prior to that, I'm 14 years old. I mean, I'm different right off the bat, you know. I'm different right off the bat. And, you know, what are these guys going to think of me? I'm going to be a burden. I'm going to ruin their night. You know, I'm the baby. I'm just going to ruin their night, you know. And by the time I got out of the car, I was one of the guys, man. I was one of the guys, and I was walking around, and I was the funniest one of the bunch, and I was just wasted, bumping into things and laughing and having a good time. And I remember puking and pissing on a guy's truck that night, and I had a good time, you know. I had a good time, you know, and I didn't know I was going to drink every single day for 8 years after that. And 8 years later, 22 years old, I'm in my room. I like to drink in my closet alone. It's furthest away from you people, you know. I don't like people. Conversations are going to have to be had. I'm going to have to tell you the truth, and I don't want to tell you the truth because you're not going to like me and you're going to leave, and I don't want that to happen. So I just stay away from you. That's my solution. I just stay away, you know. It's easy. And, you know, I'm drinking in my room alone. The phone's off. Nobody's calling anymore. Nobody's answering the phone, and the blinds are drawn. And the door is locked, and I weigh about 115 pounds, and I'm sick, and I don't eat, I just drink, you know. Food's going to soak up the alcohol, so I just choose not to eat, you know, because I want to drink. And broken, relationships gone, parents want nothing to do with me. I owe a lot of people money, people want nothing to do with me. I'm miserable, I'm scared, I'm lonely. It's just, and that's how I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, just like that. You know, uneducated, no job. You know, and I came in, I didn't want to get sober on my own. I got introduced to AA 2 years prior to getting sober, and I did it because everybody else wanted me to, and I wanted them to get off my back. And I drank in the parking lot of a meeting one day, went inside, took 30 days, and saw nothing wrong with it. And they asked me to tell them how I did it, and I said no, and I sat down, and that was it. And I saw nothing wrong with it. I saw absolutely nothing wrong with it. And, you know, I that's how I came in this time. And I didn't do it right for the first year and a half. I got a sponsor who had money, who had a Beamer, and I wanted that. And I said, you're the one. And I chose him, and I wasn't honest with him. I didn't do an honest four-step. I made some of my amends. I did what I thought was enough, you know. And come a year and a half later, I'm miserable, and I want to kill myself sober, you know. Which proves, you know, if anyone thinks that alcohol is the problem, I was a year and a half sober and wanted to kill myself. Alcohol is not the problem. You know, I am the problem. I just don't perceive things right, you know. Nothing's right. I need to change everything. You know, I just have this need to change everything because nothing's right. And nobody's right. And I got to manipulate. And I just want to be comfortable. You know, I do what I can to make me comfortable. And that's how I go. And so a year and a half sober, you know, God bless that guy. He took me through the steps. He just wasn't being a sponsor anymore. And I knew I was either going to drink or I was going to have to make a change and get another sponsor. And I got another sponsor. You know, one who seemed a little bit less confused and a little bit less scared than I was at the time. And we went through the work, man, and we read the doctor's opinion, and it made sense. You know, the allergy, the obsession made sense to me. I thought I was crazy. I didn't know why I drank. You know, I thought I drank because I got fired or she broke up with me or this or that. Like, I drink because of the effect. Dude, that's it. I drink because I like the effect produced by alcohol. That's it. I feel good when I drink, so I drink because I don't feel good, you know. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I thought I was crazy. And you know, we got to the fourth and fifth step, and I mean, I sat in his room, and I had written everything out, and I was scared. You know, I was really, really scared. I'd never been honest with anyone in my life, let alone another guy. I just don't tell guys stuff. You know what I mean? I don't do that. I didn't grow up like that. And, you know, I had a bunch of resentments and a bunch of fear, and I didn't act right in relationships, you know, and a bunch of secrets. And I sat down, I told him everything. I didn't know why. None of this sounded like a good idea. I just didn't want to drink, and I didn't know what else to do. What he told me is, if you don't do this, you're probably going to drink again, so you should probably do it. And I didn't want to drink, and so I did it. And it was just that simple, you know. And I was shaking like a leaf, and I cried, and I laughed, and I got angry, you know. And I just, all of it, you know, came out. And he related to me. You know, he didn't laugh. He related to me, you know. And he said, me too, and told me some stuff about him. And we went to a meeting, and I remember this vividly, and I really had a strong experience. Like, I was shaking like a leaf in the meeting, and I looked around, and I didn't so much feel better, you know, like a million bucks. I didn't feel like that at all. I just felt different. And different for a guy like me is really, really good, because I only feel different when I drink, and now I feel different from doing the work, you know. And I had been honest for the first time, and it felt good. And I knew I had been honest, you know, and it just felt good, and I felt different, you know. And it kind of gave me the drive to continue on with this thing, you know. And pretty much, like, it's not about shame, it's not about guilt. I'm a drunk who made some mistakes, just like everybody else is a drunk who made some mistakes. You know, I'm nothing special. You know, I'm one of the many. I'm part of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I felt that night. And you know, went out there and made some amends, and I didn't want to do that either. It sounded ridiculous. Like, these people don't remember. Why do I need to go? You know, they don't remember the money I stole. Like, why? You know, who cares? And and I went and made these amends again, because I didn't want to drink. And my sponsor, if you don't make these amends, you're probably going to drink again. I said, okay, I'll go make these amends, you know. And what I experienced from those amends, and it didn't matter whether they went good or bad or whatever. It's just, I experienced freedom from that. I started sleeping good at night. I started sleeping through the night. I started having conversations with people and looking them in the eye. You know, I was basically becoming part of everything again, a part of society, a part of AA, a part of everything again. And it felt good, you know. I was getting results, basically, from doing the work, just like everybody had promised me in the beginning, and I didn't think it was going to work, and I was getting results, you know. You know, after all that, I got to, you know, my sponsor said, all right, go get a new guy, start sponsoring guys, you know, get somebody in the book, and you know, I started doing that, and I've read the book with a few guys, and some have stayed, some haven't. I don't get to decide who stays. I just know that I've stayed sober through it from doing that, you know, and to be able to watch people transform, I don't get that anywhere else, like right in front of my face. Like, I get that in AA. Like, I have a genuine care and concern and compassion for other human beings today. You know, I didn't have that before. I didn't care about anything before, let alone you people, you know, and now I do. You know, I care how everybody's doing, and I have amazing relationships today, you know, and it's just being a part of today, you know, being present, being a part of, and being sober, and being involved, you know. And I find that the more I'm involved with you guys, the more I'm involved with anybody in general, the less I'm involved in myself. And the more I'm involved with you guys, since God is deep down in every man, woman, and child, the more I'm into you guys, the more I'm into God, and that's just how it is for me, you know. And the more I'm connected, the more, you know, the better off I am, really, you know, the more immersed I am in this thing. And for me, it's just about showing up, and, you know, mostly with my parents. My parents got the most of it, and it may not be a big deal to some people, but, like, just to be present and to show up. And I can't change my mother and father. I'd like to, but I can't, you know. And I can't control them, you know, but I can show up. You know, I can show up. And my dad had heart surgery recently, and that's a scary thing, you know. And my mom was in the hospital freaking out. And I was able to go down there and be present. I can't do anything about the situation. I'm not in control of that. You know, the steps of my sponsor showed me that. Like, God's in control, I'm not. But I can show up. And I showed up, and I was present. And it was cool, because the next day I got a text message from her that said, you know, thanks for showing up. It helped me out. I love you. And that may not be a big deal to some people, but it is for me, because that lady wanted nothing to do with me when I got here. She wanted nothing to do with me. She kicked me out of her house, you know. And to get something little like that, you know, I mean, makes it completely, completely worth it, you know, and I'm not perfect, and I'm not a saint, and I screw up a lot, but I have guys around me to fall back on, and I got a sponsor and other guys to be accountable with, and I have things to come and do like this, and I get to share it with you guys and get honest about it and stay accountable and stick around for a bit, you know, and so I think my time is up, so I appreciate it.